And as we prepare our hearts for the message of God's word today, time of reflection, let's just listen to this psalm that also reminds us of what God has done for us in Jesus. Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. He redeems my life from the pit and crowns me with love and compassion. He satisfies my desires with good things, so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with those, with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Let's take a few moments just to reflect, to just prepare our hearts for really hearing God speak to us this morning. And so let's take a few moments in silent, reflective prayer. Let go of all those things that have hindered, the sins that have easily entangled, and let us focus our eyes on Jesus this morning. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that you meet with us in the worship and in the praise as we sing our heart's desire to know you and to love you and to we sing your praises. This, Lord, we thank you that we can meet with you there, but we also thank you, Lord, that we can meet with you in the quiet and in the stillness where we can know this truth from Psalm 103 that you are the one who heals us. You are the one who redeems us. You are the one that cleanses us and makes us new. You are the one that is able to bring about new life in each one of us. And so thank you, Lord. And thank you for the way that you provide for us your truth in the scriptures. Thank you, Lord, for the way that you have provided for us the words of life. And Lord, so today we just ask that your Holy Spirit would just move among us now. Give us ears to hear, hearts to understand, and a real will and desire to put into practice the things that we discover today as we study these things together. Lord, we love you, we praise you, we thank you for the way that you are here and walking among us. Open our eyes, Lord, that we might see. Open our ears that we might hear. Give us a willful heart, Lord, that we might serve you and love you with all that we are. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this past year, over this past year, we've been on the first Sunday of each month building community inside and out as we have been studying together some things about bodybuilding. Now, I know that some of you know that all of us know the Olympics are on right now, and I'm not talking about the bodybuilding that they do at the Olympics. I'm talking about the bodybuilding that we do as a community. And so we've been looking at this from a number of different perspectives since January. And we've gone through Bodybuilding 101, Bodybuilding 102, and now we're getting into the Bodybuilding 300 series of messages. In Bodybuilding 101, we looked at what is the body of Christ. So on a personal level, what's the body of Christ? How do we connect with it? 102 was exercising the body, how important it is to be exercising who we are in the body of Christ. And then 103 was the purpose of the body. Why do we exist as the body of Christ? And then in the 200 series that we've looked at, we were looking at knowing who I am as a member of the body of Christ. 202 was knowing who we are as the body of Christ together. And then 203 was knowing who we are to the world around us. So as we've been working our way through this series, hopefully you're starting to notice something about each of these different parts of the series. 100 series, 200 series. Oh my goodness, I'm getting all confused here this morning. Hopefully you're not. But in each of these, there's been a progression of our understanding. The first 101, 201, and as we move into 301, it's all more on a personal level, right? Personal level. Then the 202, what 101, 102, 202, and 302 will be on a more corporate level, going a little bit deeper each time. And then the 303, 203, and 103 will be on the global level. How does being the body of Christ impact the community around us? And so today we're starting this new series within this bigger series, and it's the body in motion. You know, the body in motion, you know, being, you know, as the body of Christ, we're in motion, and that motion is our mission, being missional. How do we express the mission that God has given to us on a personal level, reaching in, 302 being reaching out, and then 302... Should be 303. Now I'm confusing myself by my own PowerPoint slides here. But that's reaching the world. So over the next few weeks, each month, over the next few months, we're going to be going a little bit deeper into this next section on the body in motion. But what does it really mean to be the body in motion, being missional on a personal, corporate, and community level? Well, this is what we're going to discover together in the next part of this series, reaching in, reaching out, reaching the world. And so if we are going to be the body of Christ, or if as the body of Christ, we're going to reach out and reach the world, we must first understand something very important. We must first understand what it means, or what the importance of reaching in is. Reaching in and taking hold of that for which Jesus Christ has taken hold of us. We need to understand what that means on a personal and corporate level of transformation. And so what we need to understand today, or where we're starting today, building foundation today, is on this whole thing about reaching in and taking hold in us, appropriating the transforming power of God that has already reached into each one of our hearts and minds and has set us free to live a new and restored relationship with God and with others. And it's really important for us to understand this, because if we don't understand how God has transformed us and where we stand in that transformation, then how can we begin to reach out to other people around us? How can we reach out in community with others as the body of Christ, if we don't understand the foundational transformation that's taken place within each one of us? And so the Apostle Paul speaks of the reality of this transformation in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 4, as he describes the healing perspective that is now ours as we remember all that Christ Jesus has done for us. And you know, that's why we're here today, right? That's why we're here today. We're around this table here, and we've come to remember all that Jesus Christ has done for us and the impact of his life, his death, and his resurrection on us personally and corporately. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. And notice what he says about our transformed point of view. Okay, our transformed perspective. This healing perspective. This is what he says. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. This is a very healing perspective for us. It's a very healing point of view to adopt. You know, the past few weeks we've been talking about our human nature and how our human nature is dominated by our distorted point of view of how we see ourselves and how we see our world. We call it the false self, the old nature. But that's the point of view that we have. The way we see the world is one that causes us to always have that sense of falling short of the glory of God. And that's what you know, the New Testament, the Old Testament calls sin. is when we have that falling shortness in our hearts and in our minds, and it dominates us, then it leads us into all kinds of ways of being and practices that we call our sinful human nature. But what the Apostle Paul tells us here is that we have in Christ, we have a totally new perspective on things, a healing perspective that we have access to now and that we are called to embrace and to take on, to put on, to take hold of. The Apostle Paul here tells us that in Christ we've been given access to and are to take hold of this transformed point of view, this healing perspective, an elevated perspective of who we are in Christ. He says, since then, you have been raised with Christ. I mean, that's not just the reality of, you know, we have been crucified with Christ and yet we live. The life we now live in the flesh, we live by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. We have been physically with Christ, raised to new life. We're raised up with Christ. What does that mean? It means that we've been lifted up out of the darkness into the light. We've been given a whole new vantage point on how to see life, how to see each other, how to see our world. We've been raised with Christ. And from this new healing perspective, we've been given a fixed new focal point for our hearts and our minds. We no longer have a distorted view of things, you know, but because of our evil desires, our hungers and our thirst after after the flesh. No, we don't have that anymore in Christ. We're not in bondage to that anymore in Christ. We may still have some of those desires. We may still have some struggles with that falling shortness that tries to rear its head all the time in our life, but we have been given this whole new perspective that helps us to fix our hearts and our minds somewhere other than on our fallen shortness. I'm not this and the world is that. Oh, no, I mean, we're no longer fixated on that. We're no longer fixated on what we lack, where we fall short, where we miss the mark, our sinfulness. No, Paul says, we have been given a healing perspective, a transformed point of view that says that we are to fix our eyes on things above, where Christ is. I found it interesting that in the English translation here, it has a comma there where he says, set your minds. He says, since then you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Where Christ is. Fix your hearts and your mind where Christ is. It's like the writer of Hebrews says, you know, therefore, being surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us fix our eyes where? On Jesus. For he is the beginner and the finisher of our faith, the author and perfecter of our faith. We're to fix our eyes where Jesus is. When we keep our eyes on Jesus, then something begins to happen. We begin, our whole being begins to be transformed. For where Christ is where we are in relation to God. In relation to God. Where Christ is where we are right now and where we will be with God for all eternity. You know, as children of God, we have a glorified new position in Christ. You know that verse that we talked about last week, Romans 6. No, my brain is not right there. But for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You know that falling short of the glory of Godness that we've been talking about. Well, what does Paul remind us here? He says that we have a glorified new position in Christ. For you died and your life is now hidden with God in Christ. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory. Glory. We have been given by God a whole new position before him as children of God. We are now in the presence of God in Jesus. We are in Christ. We are hidden in Christ. You know, as children of God, we have this glorified new position. Our life, your life and my life, are hidden with Jesus in God. Now, I'm going to let you stew on that one for a little bit, okay? Reflect on that. I need to think on that one a little bit more. What does that really mean? We are hidden in Jesus. In God. We are hidden with Christ in God. You know, if this is true, that in Christ Jesus, we are constantly before God and his throne. And that is a place of glory. Then what does that say about our being restored? What is it? You know, how does God see us right now as his dearly loved children? Does he see us as those who are falling short, don't make the mark, don't hit the mark? Or is he seeing us as those of his children who have been restored to the glory that he meant for us from the very beginning to be image bearers, his image bearers? I mean, that's chilling. I'm getting goosebumps right now just talking about that, because that means we have a very new position before God when we are in Christ. And if this is true, that Jesus has given us access to this healing perspective, a transformed point of view, what does this mean for us on the court of our life each day? Does it mean that we see ourselves as we're just sinners? We're just sinners redeemed by God? Or does it mean that we are the redeemed of God who still struggle with the old nature? But we have been given all the resources, all the power of God to be able to make a choice to live a different way in relationship with each other. A different way for ourselves and a different way for each other to live a new life. You know, there are very strong implications here for us. You know, we've been given by God the resources and the power to choose how we are going to live. And And I love this verse from Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, where it says, God says, this is what God says, I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Therefore, choose life, that you and your offspring may live. So remember a few months back, Pastor Steve came, my friend Steve came, and he put two chairs up here at the front. And he says, you know, which chair are you going to live in? Are you going to live in the new possible world of freedom that you can trust in the promises of God? Or are you going to live in the world of already and always, where you're going to trust your old self and your earthly nature? Which chair are you going to live in? Choose. Choose. Now, some of you say, you know, that, I mean, this is the real simple thing about our faith. When we are those who know and love Jesus Christ, he's given us the power to choose. Are you going to choose to live in your old nature? Or are you going to choose to live in the new nature that I've given you? Now choose. And some of you say, well, it's not an easy thing to choose. Well, it is. It's as simple as that. Choose. Choose you. God has given you, set before you, life and death. Now, choose which are you going to choose? He says, choose life. Choose life. You know, it really is that simple, but it's also that difficult. Because to choose life means that we have to reorder our life and priorities. We need to really take a hold of that new healing perspective. That new healed point of view. That we have been raised up with Christ. That we have been given this ability to fix our eyes on heavenly things, on Jesus. And we can actually live that way. You know, the Apostle Paul wasn't just blowing smoke when he talked about that. This was his testimony of his life. You know, one of my favorite testimonies from the New Testament is the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 to 14, where he expresses in very simple and relatable way his transformed point of view that he was living from. And this is what he said. He said, in Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 to 14, he says, but whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I've lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. It says, not that I've already attained all this or already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. That's a transformed perspective on life. He was living from that healing perspective. And with a transformed point of view, that we have been given, with our transformed point of view, we've been given power to choose life. And that's what Paul was seeking to do. to live in the resurrection power of God at work in and through his life, through the Holy Spirit. And that power that we have to choose is the power to declare, out with the old and in with the new. How would you like, how would that be great? That would be a great thing, wouldn't it? Just to be able to say, out with the old, in with the new. And that's what Paul is saying to us in Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 to 11. He's saying, we have the power, by the grace that God has given to us, the power of the Holy Spirit, to put to death, therefore, he says, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. He says, you used to walk in these ways, in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. You know, as we allow these words to really sink into us, one of the things that we can notice here is that when we Paul has said, you know, we have this power, the power of God that's in us to be able to say no to the old nature. It's really a two-step process that we go through in our lives. You know, as we embrace this healing perspective, there's a two-step process. And the first part of this process, that, you know, to be able to cast out the old from our life, it means that we need to be aware of our root sin. Be aware of our root sin. We talked a little bit about this a couple of weeks ago when we talked about really getting to that place of understanding what is it that, where in your life do you really have that sense of, I don't measure up, I don't hit the mark, I am not this in the world, and the world is that. You know, that will give you an understanding of what your root sin is. Because that's where it was formed, that's where it really took hold and formed in you. You know, when I've done some work in my life, one of the things that, you know, when I discovered I'm not loved and the world is a lonely place was my point of view, I started digging a little bit further. And you know what that really started to reveal about me was, you know, my root sin is actually pride. Pride. Because I want to be loved. I want to be, you know, feel like I'm not alone in the world. And so what do? I have to, you know, my sin nature just says, you got to make something of yourself. You got to excel in everything. You've got to be the one that gets all the praise and the glory. And so when I look back over my life, oh my goodness, I my pride kept me from really being able to listen and hear other people say things to me about how I was being or who I was. And that was my pride leads to a downfall. It separates us from other people. So I could see that in me, my root sin. And you know, our root sins can be, as he says here, he says, you know, you gotta understand that whatever belongs to the earthly nature, he names a number of them: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, idolatry, which is idolatry. All these different things are idolatry. All these things we put before God. What is your root sin? Understand it. And he says, put it to death, neutralize it, take it out. And it's how we take it out is we purposely, when we recognize that that's our root sin, we purposely seek the fruit of the Spirit. To live by the fruit of the Spirit that's opposite to our root sin. You know, for me, that's humility. Being humble. Not letting myself think that I'm right all the time, but always seeking to hear what other people are saying and really understanding who another person is and not always going wanting to be first but or being so competitive. Oh, I was so competitive. When my kids were growing up, they never liked to play games with me because I always wanted to win. And now it doesn't matter if I win anymore. It's playing the game. Humility. Counter it. Put it to death. Recognize it and take it out. Paul says, and you have the power to make that choice. Not to be in bondage to your root sin. That's the power of God's Spirit living in you that allows you to do that. And then be aware of deep-rooted, recurring, unhealthy emotional responses. How many of us have those deep-rooted, unhealthy emotional responses? Yes, we do. You know, Paul describes them here. He says, you must also rid yourself of all such things as anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Yeah, now would anybody say that you have some of those deep-rooted emotional responses? Yeah, I think we all do. In one way or another. And you see, he says, be aware of these things, and then choose to tame your emotions. You have the power of God's Holy Spirit in you to tame those emotions. We are emotional people. We're gonna from time to time, but we can tame them. We can train ourselves not to be the sum total of our emotions. Our feelings. We can train ourselves in Christ to live that self-controlled life by the Spirit of God. Now, being aware of these things helps us to be able to recognize when we're moving into our old nature, and then we stop and we choose to move towards our embracing and living out of our new nature. We have the power to choose. Colossians 3:10, it's a beautiful section of this passage that I just read that just reminds us that we have this power. At the center of Paul's teaching here is this powerful statement in verse 9. It says, do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. You know, as we give ourselves over to Christ, as we give our life over to Christ, what happens? We are a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. What is this new? It is the nature that God intended for us as image bearers of his, to bear the image of God. That is our God-bearing, image-bearing nature. The image of God nature, which is our new self, our new nature that we live in. And when we live in that nature, God has given us the grace to be able to say no to ungodliness. That's what Paul says in Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to 14. He says, "For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good." You see, this is where it all kind of starts to come together for us. As we reach in here, we're reaching in, you know, to really see how God has transformed us individually. It has an impact on how we live corporately as the body of Christ. And then it has an impact on the world. And it all comes down to we have a choice. We have the power to choose, which comes from our being crucified with Christ. It comes from Christ in us, the hope of glory. It comes from the empowering presence of God residing in us, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And all of this gives us the power to say no to ungodliness and yes to walking in the freedom and the fruit of God's Holy Spirit. The freedom to choose to say, out with the old, and what? In with the new. And that's what Paul says in Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 14. He says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against somebody, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity." You know, God has given us the choice. Each and every day, each hour of each day, each minute by minute, if necessary, he's given us the power to choose to live in the new, to be empowered by our true self-identity. As God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, to be clothed with a whole new wardrobe. Clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. You remember the root sin? This is the opposite of the root sin. All those other things that he was talking about that were our old nature stuff, he says, now clothe yourself with the new nature stuff. Choose. Be empowered to be an expression of Christ's forgiveness. Bear with each other. Forgive one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. You see, in order for us to be able to reach out together as the body of Christ, this is all so important. Because if we're not taking this on personally in our life, then we're not going to be able to get along with each other in the body of Christ, because our sin nature will get in the way every single time. It's so important. And that's why he says we need to choose each day to be bound together by love. Over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. You know, it's very simple. In very simple terms, Paul is saying to us, choose life. Choose life. Deuteronomy 30:19 says, "This day I call the heavens and the earth as God, as witnesses," God says, "against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live." How may we live? Well, we may live together in peace, with gratitude. When we choose life, when we choose to live in this healing perspective, we choose life. Our theme today has been reaching in. Well, how does all this tie in with our theme? Well, the body of Christ in motion, reaching in, it's foundational to our being the body of Christ. To be able to reach out effectively to the world around us, we must be able to live together as the body of Christ. And this is how we live together, by getting rid of the old in our own life, bringing in the new, choosing to live in the new. To be able to live together in peace and gratitude as the body of Christ, we must first reach into our own lives, shine the spotlight of God's transforming presence so that we can become aware of the struggles that we all have with our old nature, and to discover the freedom that we have in our new nature to say, out with the old, in with the new. And as members of the body of Christ, we can also stand together in Christ to then support each other and encourage one another in our training in righteousness. Training ourselves to choose life over death, blessings over curses, every day as we spur one another on toward love and good deeds. And that's what Paul says in this final section of Colossians 3, verses 15 to 17. He says this: "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Paul gives us these simple words of advice, words to live by as the body of Christ. And so this morning, as we take some time to go to the tables for a time of reflection, here's what I'd like you to do. I'd like you to have one person at your table read Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 to 17 one more time. Okay, I just read that for you, but I'd like you to take some time to read that together at your table. One person. And then I'd like you to take a moment just of silent reflection. Okay, as that person is reading, listen for a word, phrase, or thought that stands out to you. Okay? Listen for, something that really just stands out to you today. You've probably heard this before, you've read it before, but think about a thought, phrase, or word that stands out to you. And then take a moment of silence after it's been read to reflect on that word, phrase, or thought. And then I'd like you to share briefly with your group one thing that either that thought or phrase has come to you, one thing from today's message that you have discovered and that you are going to put into practice. What's one thing that God is saying to you today? Okay, and share that around with your group. And once you've completed that, then I'd like you simply just to pray for one another. You can pray around the table if you would like You can either that, or you can pray silently for each other. But take some time to pray as we prepare our hearts for our time together around the Lord's table this morning. As we prepare ourselves for the time of communion together, I'd like us to say together this prayer. It's known as the Prayer of Peace, attributed to St. Francis of Assisi. But I'd like us to pray this together. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console. To be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love, for it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen. Amen.